Amen. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you that you're our teacher. And Lord, we thank you that as we look into the scriptures, you show us your ways and how you love us and how you move among us. And certainly be our teacher today that we can receive this and understand what's going on around us and what you are asking of us. So Lord, we just give you this time. I pray you'd anoint me with the Spirit. I just speak things of the Spirit, and I pray each heart would be opened by the Spirit to receive the things you have to say. So we give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we are looking at Luke. I'm going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. A few verses I think you'll be familiar with. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Amen? And you're thinking, he has got his holidays mixed up. This is truly Labor Day, right? This is Labor Day weekend. It's not Christmas. But really, this is a good opportunity as we're going through Luke, and I'm looking forward to going through this section of Scripture and not so much thinking about the story, the account we're so familiar with, the Christmas account, which we always read from this section. And so I want to kind of back up and look at it a little different. Look at some different things that are going on here and how we can apply them to our life. So we want to focus on God's method of revelation, and application to our lives, all right? Now, the last couple of weeks, we've looked at how God moves, and last week, nothing is impossible with God. And so from reading this proclamation of the angels, we would probably think that everything was in total peace and there's no stress. I mean, right? It's just like the angels are in heaven, they're singing, everybody's rejoicing, and so everything's just got to be clicking along perfectly, right? Not so. That's not the case. And this is a truth we really need to learn. When we step out and trust God, He has shown us something. Very often, things do not work out how we expected them to. You ever notice that? Therefore, we have a crisis of faith. Like, God, this is not working out like I thought. The key word in there is I. Okay, I feel like I heard your word. I feel like this way, but it's not working out. Therefore, because things don't work out like we think they should, then we have this crisis of faith. Now, here's something. This is a very important lesson we're going to learn this morning. Is that when we have this crisis of faith, God is actually doing an incredible, miraculous work. He's doing an unbelievable work. And a crisis of faith is almost evidence that he's doing a miraculous work. So what it is, we need to learn how to stand firm and continue to trust God when things seem to be falling apart all around us. Amen? So can everybody kind of incorporate that? Say, yeah. Okay? So it's kind of help us in our Christian walk. Because one of the errors in our Christian life is that, oh, I'll trust Jesus and I'll do what he says and everything's going to work out like I think. And we'll find 100% in all Christians that's not what happens. So what is going on here? Well, actually, I think in this section, there is some clarity about what's going on and what God is doing, and so we can learn from it. So, and I'm going to have four lessons here, four points. So you can write them down. I never do this, okay, hardly. Well, none. Number one, lesson one here. Our crisis of faith is often a precursor to the miraculous move of God. Okay? Repeat that. Our crisis of faith is often a precursor to the miraculous movement of God. Now, let's just give an example on this section. Okay, just an example on this thought. A crisis of faith often comes because something happens in which we have no control. In fact, you'll notice that a lot of times you'll say, okay, before the Lord, this is what he wants me to do, and I'm going to make this step and be obedient to the Lord. And then out of the blue, everything falls apart. You go, what is going on? What's happening? What should I do? Did I hear God correctly? And you start questioning yourself. See, that's a norm. That's a norm. So now, they can come from a lot of different places. But what's interesting, you have no control. Now, if you like did something stupid, you go, I did something stupid. That's right. It didn't work out. But you have nothing to do with what happened. And so you're puzzled. You're puzzled. Now, so it's these times when we have nothing. Well, let's give you an example, okay, for Joseph and Mary. Okay, they're just trying to make it. They're just trying to make it up in Nazareth, do the things they need to do, all right? And look what happens in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, and all the world should be registered, you know. And you could just see them talking. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. You know, of all the things we got going on, and now Caesar Augustus says we have to go be registered. See, what we have here, the government, economic recessions, your boss, family situations, or other unplanned events may cause our world to turn upside down and suddenly change all our circumstances. We had nothing to do with it. It changed everything. And what happens here, in these times, we need to see the world through God's eyes. All right? We have to back up and say, okay, God, what are you doing? And here's a verse that can be helpful. And you meditate on this. It's kind of incredible. Proverbs 21:1. Proverbs 21:1 says this, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wills. That means Caesar's heart was in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it. And if that's the case, you've got to go, okay, I'll have to make some adjustments here. Something is happening. So in these times, we need to take a deep breath, knowing that everything has been sifted through God's hands. And when we accept that God is moving, we adjust our plans to cooperate with what God's doing. Events that upset the norm, causing a crisis of faith, are evidence that God's moving. See, it's evidence. He's just not moving the way we thought he did, all right, should. But it's evidence that he's moving. And so we're trying to understand the big picture of what's going on. So you have here Caesar Augustus turned Joseph and Mary's situation upside down. And therefore, with only the word of God for support, and that's important, I put that there, with only the word of God for support, because things are not... No one else is coming alongside them to help them out, to explain to them what's going on, because they don't understand. And Joseph and Mary have been spoken to by angels. They didn't speak to anybody else. And so they just have the support of the word of God, and they're trying to discern what's going on here. And here, Augustus, you know, he says, well, everybody needs to go be registered at their hometown. So with only the support of the word of God, this carpenter and his pregnant fiance. I'm underlined, fiance. They're not married. Just put yourself in that. Think about that. And they have to make an unexpected 80-mile trip by donkey. Now, I just want any married people here. All right? God said,
we need to go to Bethlehem. You go to Bethlehem. I'm not going. You know, by what? A donkey? You know? No, I want a new SUV if you get me down there. You know, I'm not going. What are you talking about? A donkey. 80 miles by donkey. But now what you think, that's what happened. That's what happened. They're in Nazareth. And by the way, you know, people can't even tell you where Nazareth is. Okay? They know it's in northern Israel. It's just a little insignificant town. This is where they live. So here we have in Luke chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, okay, his fiance, who was with child. So here's the thing, here's the situation. God has spoken to them. And anyway, as he spoke to them, you think, Lord, all right, even the word you spoke to me has got me puzzled, okay? Because now I've got to walk through this, you know. The angel spoke to Joseph. Angel spoke to Mary. Oh, what's going on? But he didn't speak to the whole village. He didn't. And so they're trying to explain this situation, and they're working through it and trying to make a living. Now, those are my words. I'm paraphrasing. So they're getting through this, and so she's hitting the nine-month mark, says, all right. And then this thing comes up. Need to go to Bethlehem, 80 miles on a donkey. Okay. Okay. Can you imagine the conversation? Okay. Now, think about it. This trip, we know, but they were speaking to us in our situation. This trip was not a random irritation. God orchestrated this move, which was necessary for Joseph and Mary to fulfill their destiny. This was necessary. You're going, 80 miles on a donkey? No, this is to fulfill your destiny. You need to do this. Now, I don't believe that Joseph and Mary fully understood the scriptures about what's going on. There's nothing in the Bible that would tell you that they understood everything that's happening. In fact, when you read it, you would just think they're just taking one step at a time, and they can't fully grasp all the things that are happening. I mean, I don't think that they grasped that 800 years before, in Micah 5:2, that God prophesied that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. I don't think that was on the tip of their tongue, all right? I don't think that they also comprehended that 1,000 years before their time, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, that God prophesied that Christ would come through the line of David, whose hometown was Bethlehem. But God knew. See, God knew. Therefore, God sovereignly moved to bring these events about. And they're going 80 miles on a donkey to Bethlehem. But God said, no, I orchestrated all of this. I orchestrated all of this. So we have this picture. We have this picture where God moved. Just think about it. We have this picture. We got this couple, this unmarried couple, pregnant lady, in Nazareth, and God moves and has the strongest ruler of all recorded history, Caesar Augustus. He is, or close to it. He has Caesar Augustus, greatest ruler, strongest ruler of all time, over the largest kingdom the world has ever known, the Roman Empire. He has him to tax the entire Roman Empire to get Joseph and Mary 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That's what God did. Now, I would have rather had like a postcard. You know, like, hey, Wallace, it's time. Okay, me and you, Jesus, it's time. How many of you got a postcard from God told you what to do? No, you haven't. How many of you have been in a situation and think, God, what? the whole world's falling apart, and now I end up over here, and I don't even know why I'm here, but I have to be here, and this must be where you place me. How many of you have been in spots like that? See, that's how God works. That's how he worked here. Don't you think that what he worked, if he worked here with this couple, don't you think he's going to skip over you and send you a postcard and say, now this is what you can do, and you will have no problem whatsoever. No, things, he's going to move things for his will to be fulfilled. And he wants us to pay attention. Now what do? We do what we know. We do what we know, and we go before the Lord. And the Lord says, you know, some Bible, a great verse in the Bible, there's several verses, says you need to be under authority. You need to be obedient to the government over you. All through Scripture it's like that. Unless they tell you to do something like deny God. Then say, just don't do that, and then you can be a martyr and come home and be with me. So there's a shot at that one. But other than that, you're supposed to obey what the authorities tell you. That make sense? You with me? So here we go. But think about it. Greatest ruler there ever was, largest empire there ever was, and he has him to tax the whole world to get Joseph and Mary 80 miles to Bethlehem. That's how God works. So it helps us to have somewhat of an understanding. Now, so this is where in lesson one we said, your crisis of faith is often a precursor to a movement, a miraculous movement of God. Look at it from God's point of view. We're believers. Now, here we got lesson two. Lesson two in our crisis of faith. Things are not working out exactly what, and that's what a crisis of faith is. Things are not working out like we thought they would. All right? So here's lesson two in crisis of faith. Understand that your own crisis of faith, you need to stand strong and trust in God like Joseph and Mary so you will fulfill your destiny. See, a lot of people want to fulfill their destiny and do a lot of different things, and they work it and work the system and whatever. And you should be obedient and do the things you should. But there should be an element you should be paying attention to what God is saying. So we need to understand that our own crisis of faith, that we need to stand strong and trust God. And that's just what Joseph and Mary did. And they fulfilled their destiny by trusting God, by doing what they understand. They couldn't, a lot of things they didn't understand, but they understood a little bit about what they were supposed to do. Now here's an example. Okay, here's an example of that. We have this stunning event that's taking place, okay? God is showing that nothing is impossible with him, all right? Hey, I'll get Caesar, he'll tax the whole world, and I will get you 80 miles to where you're supposed to be. So he's showing us that nothing's impossible with God. But, and then we would assume that, okay, after he did that incredible miracle, unbelievable, we see that from God's point of view, we would assume now that everything works out. Now everything will work out perfectly. Amen? Right? I mean, I went through this one issue, you went through this one issue, whatever it is, now it's going to work out. But the problem is, when you go through one crisis of faith, there comes another crisis of faith. Sometimes the first crisis of faith is just leading up to another crisis of faith. Let's look at Joseph and Mary again. Luke 2, 6 through 7. So here they are, 80 miles on a donkey. And while they were there, the time had come for her to give birth. You knew it. Wouldn't you know it? Right? When they were, now the time, I mean, why couldn't that be like 2 weeks early? Yeah. No, when they're there, now the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. God has just moved heaven and earth to have Joseph and Mary to travel to Bethlehem, and there's no room at the inn. Think about it. Greatest ruler of all time, the greatest empire of all time, you tax them, and so I can get that couple 80 miles. You would think he could got them a room. You would think he could got them a room. I mean, you know, Motel 6, anything. We're not looking to Hilton's, just anything. Now, Jesus is born in a barn. Now, I want you to personalize this. I hope everybody's sitting with their wife. Hun, there's no room. I know, we've been 80 miles on a donkey. I know, I told you God was behind this. I do trust God. You're going to have this baby in the barn. Now, would that lead to some marital conflict? Do you think? Yeah, right. You heard God, you know. See, so, but here's the position. Sometimes we just look at this magnificent activity of God, and we forget the human nature that they had to go through. They were people just like us. They love the Lord, but they're thinking, dear Jesus, dear Jesus. So here we have baby Jesus born in a barn. One crisis of faith leads to another crisis of faith. And listen to this. Only those with a heartfelt, passionate trust in God can stand in such a challenging crisis of faith. Some people can't do it. Some people won't do it. All right? And what you're seeing here, they did do it. They did do it. And that first crisis of faith is tough. And you think God to just be excited and that's it. But no, it leads to another crisis of faith that leads you even into have to have a deeper commitment to the Lord to be able to trust him to stand in that situation, a passion for God. And that is the only way you can stand in that situation. There's no human going to be able to tell you this is a good idea. They're not, all right? I'm going to call mother. You know, she's, that's all right, hon. Just go ahead and have that baby in the stable. It'll work. No, she's not going to do it. She's, I told you not to marry him. No, I mean, you're going to see what you're going to say. So what you see here, it's going to the depths of a person's heart and saying, God, if only you can get us through this. Only you can get us through here. So it's at times like these, the world and everything around us will say, quit. Now, that's one reason, that's one way you know you're here, because everyone around you will say, quit. See, you know what that leaves when everyone around you says quit? It's you and the Lord. Now, what does the Lord want? He wants you to have just you and the Lord. So he works this. He works this. And so faith tells us, everyone tells us to quit, but faith tells us to persevere. Now look at this verse, Romans 8:28, a great verse, but it truly applies here, truly applies here. Romans 8:28, we know for those who love God, now wait a minute, pause. We know those who what? Love God. That means you really love God. You totally love God. You embrace God. See, for those who love God, like Joseph and Mary, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. See? All right. Why are you standing? Why do you keep going? Why? Because we know this is what God has said, and all things work for good of those who have been called according to his purpose. The angels appeared to Joseph and Mary. They told them, going to have a baby. All right? Now, that's all they told them. You know, you would hope, you like, you know, give me a little more info would help, a little more info. I mean, you could just tell me, says, hey, you know, at this time you can go to Bethlehem. I mean, you didn't have to go make Caesar tax the whole world. You could just tell me. You've already told me once, you know, I'd listen the second time. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. And so you're moving and trusting God, and you're not sure about everything, and it's not quite working out how you thought it was. Amen? Now, that's where Joseph and Mary are. That's where they are. So we have to stand strong in these situations to fulfill our destiny. To fulfill our destiny. And it takes those that are passionate and committed to God, not to a thing, to God. Amen? And God's going to do things and just see. And just see. And it's like, who do you love? That's what he's going to do. So it's a good lesson to learn. So there we got two, that lesson two. So we see this, that we need to understand our own crisis of faith and stand strong and trust God to fulfill our destiny. Amen? Now here's the third one. Here's the third one. As we persevere in our crisis of faith, completely unknown to us, God is moving in heaven and earth all around us. See, God is doing a big work. The thing of it is, he's not telling us. He's not, if I knew you were doing that, God, you know, I could have sucked it up and done a lot better, you know. You didn't tell me nothing. You just said, hey, go down here and, you know, you and your wife go in the stable and she's going to have a baby. I mean, if I had a little encouragement along the way, but he didn't tell him anything. See, he told him what to do. He says, you don't need me to say anything else. I already told you what to do. Now I'm going to do my stuff, all right? And so we need to know God's doing his stuff around us. When we're obedient to him and trusting him, passionate for him, he's doing stuff around us and we don't even know about it. He's moving heaven and earth and we don't even know about it. As we persevere in our crisis of faith, when things don't work out, the angels are rejoicing because we trust and don't give up. You see, the angels are rejoicing because we trust and don't give up. Example. Look what is happening while Joseph and Mary are in the stable. Okay, Joseph and Mary in the stable. Now again, put the picture here. She's having a baby. And she's putting him in a manger. You know, we have this thing, you know, we do our little skit, you know, here at Christmas. I mean, it's a thing you feed cattle out of. I mean, that's what it is. You know, we kind of, oh, it's cute. You know, it's a thing you feed cattle out of. That they feed the cattle. You got to get the cattle out of here because I got a baby I got to put in this thing. Okay? The picture of this is just overwhelming for normal people. By the way, which Joseph and Mary were normal people. Normal people. So, while they're in the stable, had this baby and putting the baby in a manger, okay, where the cows eat, in the cows eat, look what's happening around them, which they're not aware of. Luke 2, 8 through 10. And in the same region, around the same spot, around Bethlehem, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And when they were filled, and they were filled with great fear, and the Lord said to them, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." You know, I'm thinking, Joseph, I said, God, I could have used that word about then. You know, hey, Joseph, you know, hey, Wally, I'm doing great things, you know. But no, he goes and tells a bunch of shepherds, okay, look, I'm doing a great thing for all people. And then angels come all around and these shepherds are overwhelmed and they're praising God. And Joseph and Mary are in the stable with a baby. Nothing's happening. There's no light shining. You know, I always like the, you know, the picture, you know, of a stable and the light is shining there and angels are over it. Those are nice pictures, but it's not in the Bible. I'm thinking they're there and they think, you know, I think we're the only one in the world and this ain't looking good. We're in the stable and there's no light shining on us. The light's shining with all these angels on these shepherds. Now, maybe there was. I don't want to totally destroy your view of the Christmas scene in the stable. But the Bible doesn't say that. So the angels are rejoicing and telling the shepherds what's going on because of what Joseph and Mary are doing. Joseph and Mary are the reason they're telling everyone else what's going on. See, that's the other thing that happens. God is doing things around us that we don't know in our crisis of faith. we're like, God, what's going to happen? I can't make it through this. And God is saying, wow, look at this. Everybody's rejoicing but you. All right? You see what I'm saying here? So it's fascinating. It's fascinating when we see this. So you see the picture, okay? God is doing something in our crisis of faith. If we go through this, God is moving all around us, moving all around us, doing what he needs to do. And he's basing it on our faithfulness. Do you see that? I mean, what if they did? Hey, Mary says, done with this. We're going to Motel 6. What's the angel going to tell the shepherds? You know, they were in the stable, but they didn't. They said, enough of this stable stuff. They went to the Motel 6, and so it's not a big a deal, as I said, but you can go see them anyway. I mean, and I think they have a continental breakfast there, so, you know, it won't be a big trip for you. You can take care of that. Ruins the whole story, doesn't it? But the thing of it is, this is how God moves throughout all history. This is how he moves throughout all history. So Joseph and Mary, what did they do? They just trusted God, passionately loved the Lord, and were working through their crisis of faith. And the angels are speaking to everyone around them, not to them, everyone around them, based on what the scripture says. Okay, here's lesson four. Here's lesson four. So as we persevere and trust God through our crisis of faith, listen to this. This is just great. We are witnesses. And God will cause people to observe us and give glory to God for our faithfulness. See, now think, this is important. You have this crisis of faith. And the crisis of faith is important. The crisis of faith means I don't want to be here. I don't want to go through this. This is not happy time, all right? I feel like God's put me in time out. All right. Actually, I think he's given me a spanking on my rear end and put me in time out. I mean, this is not happy time. And so that's our view of the crisis of faith, but that's not God's view of the crisis of faith. And so we are trusting him. And as we persevere, we are God's witnesses. Joseph and Mary, why, I know there's no room. Why didn't you make reservations? Why are you here? Why don't you ask God to do something different? Why don't you? No, we're trusting the Lord. We know he is directing us. We know this will work out. And the reason that we're persevering is because our passionate love of the Lord, and he will work all things for good for us. And the world will think you're nuts. A lot of the church will think you're nuts. All right? And so what you have to do is understand what the Lord is doing and walk in that and trust in him and what he's shown you in those situations. And as a result, because we trust God in this, our crisis of faith, we are God's witnesses. And we are God's witnesses. And God will cause people to look at us, observe us, and give glory to God. And you'll hear people say, I couldn't have done that. I don't know how you did that. I couldn't have done that. Well, tell you the truth, you couldn't have done it if God hadn't told you and given you the grace to go through it. So you're just praising God, you know. And so God is bringing people around, and they're observing you, and then they're giving glory to God because of your faithfulness. That's called witnessing, by the way. See, that's what it is. And that's what happened. Now, in this example, it's amazing. You got Joseph and Mary, they're in the stable. God doesn't get Joseph and Mary out of the stable right away. He doesn't. Now, I don't know how long they were there. You know, I'm sure they were weeks. But so God doesn't get them out of the stable, but he tells others to go and see them and observe. You're going, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, God, I mean, he can do anything, right? He could get them out of the stable, but he doesn't do that. He tells others, go and observe them. Look at them in the stable. That's what he did. See, again, our Christmas story, where then the angels are singing, the wise men come, and the shepherds come, and, you know, everybody's just shouting hallelujah. And that's a good picture. But when you read it here, it's not exactly what happened, all right? The angels talked to the shepherd, and the shepherds showed up. Well, the shepherds, they've been keeping sheep all night. All right? And they come and said, come, I want you to come and look at this. And it says that they looked at it and said, wow, that's just like God told us. Sure enough, son of a gun. He told us there. And that's sure enough. Look at them there. And then they're amazed by their faithfulness. God told them. And then they go look and they're amazed by their faithfulness. See? So we need to remember that in our crisis of faith. Listen to these verses now with that in mind. Luke 2:15-20. And when the angels went away from them into heaven. Now see, when the angels went away from them into heaven. When the angels went away from them and they ran over and helped Joseph and Mary and got them through their situation. No, they just left town. Okay, the angels went to heaven. All right? They did their job. They told the shepherds. So, and when the angels had went into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Lord, this is something. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it, they're telling everybody, you won't believe what's going on in this stable. You know, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. I figure, you got a baby in a manger and all the shepherds. You know, angels came and talked to us and they said that she pondered this in her heart. Really? No kidding. You know, the shepherds are saying all these angels told them. That's the reason we're here. So she's pondering these things in her heart. She probably has a different attitude towards Joseph, maybe. I shouldn't even say that. Okay, here with it. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. Now, all that they had heard and seen. They heard and seen the angels, and then they went to see Joseph and Mary, and they were doing exactly what they told them to. And they're amazed at the angels. They're amazed at Joseph and Mary. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. See, Joseph and Mary were witnesses to all these around them, and they started carrying this message. Now, as we continue in our obedience, God puts everything that is necessary for him to complete his promises. He starts putting it all together. See, he had this. He gave them, he told them that this child, they were going to have this child, miraculously spoke to both of them through angels. And then you have this incredible event that they didn't know about. They end up in Bethlehem. They have this baby, but they have limited understanding. But as they were obedient to what God did for them and through this birth in this stable, God now used their faithfulness to complete and fulfill his promises that only he understood. See, we want God to fulfill the promises we understand. Now, he told us some of it. We got some of it, but he didn't tell us the whole picture, just like he didn't tell Joseph and Mary. And so he completed, by their faithfulness, he completed the promises as only he fully understands. Joseph and Mary didn't understand everything, but they were obedient to what they did understand. There you go. All right? There are a certain amount of things we understand. And we have to be faithful to what we understand. Now, the world will come against it because it doesn't make sense. But we know that God's going to do something bigger than us, so we're obedient to what he's told us. And as we're obedient to what he told us, he'll reveal more to us. And then he will carry out what he intended. As we pass through our crisis of faith, everything ultimately works out as God intended. Okay, Joseph and Mary, now they're in Bethlehem. They got down here. Sure enough, they had the baby, just like God said. Now that's all they knew, based on the scripture. They had the baby, just like God said. And he said, by the way, when you have the baby, name him Jesus. Okay, all right, we'll do that. So here we got, they're coming through their crisis of faith in Luke 2:21. Now put yourself in Joseph and Mary. They're just doing what they know. What they know. Luke 2:21. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus,
the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. They just did what they knew. You know, they didn't, wasn't a problem about what you name this baby. Says, you know, you're going to be conceived of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to name him Jesus, all right? So there they are. They have the baby. They named him Jesus. But they went through the crisis of faith to complete what God had told them to do. Our faithfulness through our crisis of faith is necessary for God to fulfill his promises. Now, I know God's sovereign. I know he's sovereign. But I can't help but think, if Joseph and Mary say, I ain't going to Bethlehem. You kidding me? 80 miles on a donkey? No. There's no room here? No. See? No. But they went. I have to believe that their faithfulness was key to God fulfilling what he said. I have to believe that our faithfulness is key to fulfill what God wants to do now. Amen? It has to be. He's telling us stuff. We need to be obedient to those things. And we're obedient to those things. He's going to fulfill his promises and continue to fulfill other promises like this. It's amazing. Our faithfulness through our crisis is necessary for God to fulfill his promises. Now God will continue his work and his purposes. Faithful, he'll fulfill his promises, and then he moves on to do other things he wants to do because of our faithfulness. And like this, look at this. All this has happened. Jesus and Mary go home. It's like, can you believe this trip? My goodness, you know? And here's how the section ends. Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and the favor with God and man. Now, I know Christ is coming. I know God is sovereign. And I know God is taking care of things. And he doesn't have to depend on us to do anything. He just chooses to. But what if they didn't go to Bethlehem? What if they said, I'm not staying in this barn. I'm not. And all along the way, we're disobedient to God. Could you write that even in a human form? That Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and the man. I had to believe in the human sense that Jesus was influenced by his parents. He was influenced by those around him, that he grew as a normal child being influenced by his parents, who persevered through their crisis of faith so God could fulfill his promises. Amen? Powerful. Powerful. So think about that. So we're looking at the Christmas story in a whole different light. And we know we are fully accepted by God. Therefore, when we have a crisis of faith, when things don't work out the way we expected, we know this is only a precursor to a great move of God, which is necessary for us to fulfill our destiny and God's purpose. He worked through Joseph and Mary. Joseph and Mary were just like us. And he did supernatural things because of people just like us. Amen. Close with 2 Corinthians 5:21. How do we even position to hear from God? How are we positioned to be used by God? All right, here it is. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. To be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God. That means we are in the place. We are in the place to be used by God based on what Jesus Christ did. Every single person who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the place to be used by God. And you're asked to be obedient today. Today. And just, things are not going to work out the way you thought they were. They're just not. They're just not. But you're still obedient to what God told you, and you still persevere and cooperate with what God's doing, but you never lose sight of the vision of what he said, and you love him passionately, and he will fulfill in you his promises that also will enable him to fulfill his promises through others in the future. Now, when I say enable him, I don't say, well, what God does what he wants to do. That's true. But he has chosen to use us. He has chosen to use us. So hallelujah, what a good spot we're in. What a good spot we are in.
Listen to the Lord. He will use you in a powerful way. Why don't we just give thanks to Him? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your goodness. We thank You that You have created us in a unique way. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your kindness. And Lord, we just ask You to continue to speak to us and let us just work in our hearts to love You, to hear You, and to follow what You say. We give thanks to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen, amen. We'll have a prophetic team come down here. Any of you like to be ministered to prophetically? Let's just praise the Lord.